Hello, folks. Welcome to a brand new episode of Thanks for the Knowledge, the weekly fan bite news show, rounding up the headlines and games and entertainment in one handy podcast. I am your host, head of fan bite media, John Warren. I hope you've had a good weekend so far, and I hope you have a good rest of your week. I had a great conversation with Nikki Grayson, our brand editor over here at fanbyte.com, about our goatees, about what we can expect for the fall and winter, and the long, winding road that has brought Halo Infinite to where it is right now. But first, we have to get to our top stories of the week. There's no doubt that Horizon Forbidden West is one of next year's most anticipated games. The sequel to 2017's Horizon Zero Dawn looks to continue Aloy's adventures through a futuristic American wasteland. And it looks, it looks pretty cool. We've seen some stuff from it so far, and it looks like more of the same, but a little bit grander. That's not the story, though. The story is this week Sony released its plans for the PS4 and PS5 versions, as well as a bunch of fancy special editions. I'll hit the special edition stuff first. There will be a standard edition, a special edition that comes with a steelbook, a digital deluxe edition with a ton of digital goods, a collector's edition with a statue, and a regala edition with a bunch of extra stuff, as well as the statue. That's all fine and good. The issue is that it is truly confusing, confounding, and especially in the face of what their competitors are doing, very, very confusing the way that they are handling that last gen to current gen, PS4 to PS5. Now, right now, you can't really get a PS5 anywhere. If you already have a PS5, hold on to it tight. They're really tough to find. And this week it was reported that that the chip shortage that we've seen cause a lot of problems with console availability is going to persist for another year. That's not good news for folks that want a PlayStation 5. It seems like the scarcity will continue. Because of that, Sony is emphasizing the fact that Horizon Forbidden West is indeed a PS4 and PS5 game. So if folks want to get their hands on the game when it comes out and they don't have a PS5, you're able to play it on PS4. Where things got tricky is when it comes to upgrading that version to a PS5 version at a later date. According to the PS blog, quote, for players looking to have access to both the PS4 and PS5 editions of Horizon Forbidden West, please purchase the digital deluxe collectors or regala editions. Dual entitlement does not apply to the standard and special editions, end quote. This means that at the very least, for cross-gen support and your save data from PS4 to an upgraded PS5 version of Horizon Forbidden West, you're going to need to shell out $80 at least. That is the least expensive of those editions I just named, is an $80 digital deluxe edition that you can get. That is the only, that is the first version of that video game that you will be able to upgrade. To make this even clearer, you can go to the FAQ on Sony PlayStation's website. There is a question asked, can I upgrade my standard edition to the digital deluxe edition of Horizon Forbidden West? Sony's answer is there are no plans for an update offer from standard to digital deluxe edition at this time. That means there's just nothing. You have to get the digital deluxe collector's or regal edition at first in order to play those. This is a really perplexing decision that Sony is making. Now, we saw this also with Spider-Man Miles Morales. The Ultimate Edition comes with a remaster of Marvel's Spider-Man, which, of course, appeared on PS4. You had to shell out $70 to play the PS5 version of Marvel's Spider-Man. But like, not every Sony game does this. They seem to pick and choose. Sackboy: A Big Adventure, which is like a very underrated game from 2020, it would let you freely upgrade to a PS5 version if you put the PS4 copy in your newer console, or if you already owned the PS4 digital version, you could do that. Ghost of Tsushima's Director's Edition was kind of a weird in-between of those things. I would say that the storefront is way more confusing to use than it is frustrating to make the upgrade. There is a cost difference that you have to make, but it's not very large. Even then, I think it's a little bit silly, but then again, there's more content in the Ghost of Tsushima Director's Edition that was not in the original. This is all to say, and listen, we're not console fanboy people here. We don't take sides. We own all of this stuff. We play all of this stuff, and we mostly like all these stuff. These are boxes that play video games. It's not very complicated. But in the marketplace, in the ecosystem, when Xbox has something called Smart Delivery, which is basically a foolproof way for a player to buy a video game and be able to play it on any console that video game appears on. So if you accidentally, quote unquote, buy a last gen version of a video game that you want to play on next gen, Xbox just basically lets you do that. They just say, hey, you bought this version, you can play it basically anywhere you want. With the cloud stuff, with everything, they are really buying into this idea that you just buy something once and you can play it anywhere. And that seems to make a lot of sense, especially if cross-gen games are going to be more and more and more common. You might as well make that as easy as possible. Sony seems determined to make this as complex as possible. And with the shortage of both the chips as well as the hardware of the PlayStation 5, it seems like a bad choice to make things this complicated and this expensive for players. Raises a lot of questions about how they're handling their business model. It makes me wonder what their long-term plans are, because it seems like they've really taken their foot off the gas in terms of making progressive, smart decisions for their players, and are instead regressing into a much more insular and unforgiving business model for their video game sales. We're going to keep an eye on this. I think the backlash for this might be enough to get them to change their minds. We'll see. I still remember when Anthem came out and there were like 20 versions of that video game, and they were all fairly different, and there was like an entire matrix that was printed for it. Things have not really gotten better in this space. Sony's not making it easier, and I sure wish you could just buy Horizon Forbidden West once and be able to play it anywhere you buy it. Sticking with Sony and PlayStation for a second, it was announced this week that next week on Thursday, September 9th, you'll be able to see a PlayStation showcase at 1 p.m. Pacific. The stream will be about 40 minutes long with updates from first-party studios as well as third-party partners. A new iteration of PSVR is the only thing that Sony is saying will not be at this show. So it's a little bit wide open as to what we can expect. So let's speculate, shall we? We think Horizon Forbidden West will probably get some sort of showcase here. We also believe that Gran Turismo 7 is probably going to show up at this event, because we haven't heard about any of it in a while, and it's probably time for them to unveil some stuff. I think we probably get a look at the God of War sequel. I think it's probably been enough time that's been announced that we finally see something on it. And maybe we even get to see the Last of Us multiplayer project that Naughty Dog has been known to have been working on since actually uncoupling it from the Last of Us Part 2 release. Of course, Kenneth Shepard would love it if we had a fifth Sly Cooper game. But I have to say, I don't think that's likely. But I'm crossing my fingers and hoping and wishing. Well, we will see. We won't have to wait long. It's going to be Thursday afternoon. The entire Fanbyte crew is actually going to be in Providence, Rhode Island, doing some content and doing some podcasts and kind of getting together for the first time in a long time. We're doing it safely. We may or may not co-stream that. It kind of depends on our schedule, but we will definitely have reactions to it that evening or the next day. So please stay tuned for that and follow us over at twitch.tv/fanbyte. And of course at fanbyte.com to get all the updates for that weekend of fun. Leaked box art for the Nickelodeon All-Stars Brawl has revealed four characters that we did not know about as of yet, and it seemed to confirm some of our suspicions that Last Airbender and Ren and Stimpy characters will be all over this game. Front and center on the box art, of course, is SpongeBob SquarePants, but right behind him are Ren and Stimpy themselves. We have not seen them in the game yet, but there they are. In the key art, and they're looking as deranged as ever. But out there to the left, we have Aang and we have Korra. That's right, the two protagonists, the two avatars from those two series will be in Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl. And it is, it's a 20-character roster that we know of so far. There's Oblino from Ah Real Monsters, Cat Dog from Cat Dog, Danny Phantom from Danny Phantom, Helga Pataki from Hey Arnold, Zim from Invader Zim, Lincoln Loud from The Loud House, Lucy Loud from The Loud House, Powdered Toast Man from The Ren and Stimpy Show, Reptar from Rugrats, SpongeBob SquarePants, Patrick Starr, Sandy Cheeks, all from SpongeBob. We have Leonardo, Michelangelo, and April O'Neil, all from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We have Nigel Thornberry from The Wild Thornberries, Aang from Avatar The Last Airbender, Korra from The Legend of Korra, and Ren and Stimpy from The Ren and Stimpy Show. That's a really stacked roster. I think this game is going to be a blast to just like play for a few weeks. I don't know what kind of legs it's got, but we're all pretty excited about it here, and we will definitely get our hands on it on October 5th when it comes to PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series 1, and Xbox Series X and S. And finally, the DC Fandom, the digital convention that debuted last year for all things DC, is coming back on October 16th. And two things that we are certainly going to see are WB Montreal's Gotham Knights and Rocksteady's Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. Those two games have been debuted already, but we haven't seen that much from them in about 6 months or so. We should see some pretty major gameplay segments. Gotham Knights is, of course, a single and multiplayer Batman game that takes place after Batman and Commissioner Gordon have quote unquote died. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say they're not dead, but whatever, that's fine. You'll get to play as many different characters, including Batgirl, including Robin, and Nightwing. That looks pretty cool. It looks like a lot like the Arkham Knight game. And yeah, I don't know. Those games are pretty good. Suicide Squad, we did not see anything in terms of gameplay with that big cinematic reveal trailer. I think that changes at Fandom. We probably see how this game plays. So that is going to be an exciting debut of gameplay, and we'll definitely look forward to it. And if you're interested in things like Aquaman 2 and other DC properties, the Fandom is something you'll definitely want to check out. To talk about our goatees so far this year, and also a bunch of other stuff, I sat down and talked to our brand editor, Nicholas Grayson. That's a really fun conversation, so let's go do that right now. Hey, Nikki, how's it going?
No introduction? You did that to yourself.
Hey, yes, I did. I'm doing okay. Good. How's your week been? I talked to you yesterday.
It's been great,
so John. I kind of know.
It's been real good. It's been a really good week for me and kind of as I evaluate my future,
right,
and kind of my next steps. It's been, I would actually define most things in my life right now as concrete.
Interesting.
And the opposite of influx.
Concrete, yeah. Kind of like the pipe running through your apartment that is the sole drainage for your building.
I don't know who the fuck designed this.
It's a pretty bad design.
It's pretty poor design.
Someone was like, what if we put the gutters on the inside of the building?
It's also like, the other silly thing is that if they literally just moved the pipe 6 feet to the side,
uh-huh,
then it would not have been inside of the house.
Right, correct.
It would have been in the wall,
uh-huh,
which would have been better.
Better, sure. Yeah.
But instead, what they did was run it right through my living room.
Right. Now, do you think they did that because, like, if it bursts in your wall, you may not know about it for a few days. But if it's in your apartment, you'll know about it immediately.
So it's kind of like a notification system.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like an alarm.
Oh, so they're doing me a service. I didn't even think about it that way, John.
Yeah. You should write your landlord a letter thanking them.
And thank them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thanked my landlord this month by they asked me to give them a check for my rent amount. And I said,
what?
No, for multiple reasons. One, I don't have checks. Two, I can't get checks through this bank that I have. It sucks. And then I was like, well, I'll just give them a money order. Do you know that the maximum amount of money that you can get for one money order is $1,000?
I did not know that.
So I did give them two money orders, one money order for $1,000 and another one for $450. And I signed them both, put them in an envelope and was like, that's a check. And they didn't call me about it. So I assume
it's fine. That's, yeah, it is fine. It adds
it's money.
Up. It's money. So that's good.
Dude, pay it in quarters when I leave, though.
Wait, what?
I'm going to pay it in quarters.
You're
going to
pay
it
in quarters? You're going to pay $14.50 in quarters?
Yeah.
How many quarters?
Can you imagine? A lot. How many quarters is that? A lot. How many quarters you got? A lot. Is this what the show's about?
Yeah, it's about how many quarters is it? Yeah, TFTK is about like quarter counting now.
Okay, wait. 1450 times 0.25. It's 3,625 quarters.
Is that true?
Unless I've done the math wrong, as if like I'm good at math. How many quarters is 1450? You have one fucking job, people. I don't know.
This is very important.
No one
knows.
Sure.
I don't think I did my math right, but I'm not even going to say what I did.
Well, what number did you get?
I got like 5,800 quarters.
Quarters.
Yeah.
Okay, so how many quarters are in a dollar?
That would be four, right? Right. So okay, so I just multiply by four.
It's four times. Oh, you're right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
no,
I'm right.
Paul says right.
Paul's leaving. Oh, I thought you meant just like this conversation is doing me in. I have to leave, but no, just
that's
doing
like
that.
One or two rolls, right?
Yeah, it's like one or two rolls. Yeah, yeah. Just fill a sock. Just fill a sock with it and then slam it on the desk.
It's like people like, love that.
They love that. I'm good. Speaking of money, have you spent money on any video games lately that you've liked?
Wow. Yeah, I bought, remember I talked about Arcade Geddon a couple of weeks ago, and by a couple of weeks ago, I mean probably 2 months ago.
Yeah.
On, Channel F.
Canal F.
I streamed it too.
Yeah.
And I hated it the first time I played it.
Okay, but this implies a turn.
Yes, I fixed the game by turning off the music.
The music was really bad.
Sounds.
Yeah.
The music was aggressively bad. The music made the game worse.
Yeah.
But now it is a very good podcast game for me.
Okay.
So I just turn it on. I have the music off and the only sound effects that the only sounds that the game makes are bullet and enemy noises.
Bullet and enemy. Okay.
Like I turned off the ability for the people to talk. Like I don't hear their shitty simlish. it's just silent except for the bullets. And then I listen to music or a podcast. That game, I think, is really, it knows what it's doing and it's pretty tight.
Yeah.
Is it deep? No. It's pretty shallow.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's what you need from.
Sometimes it's what you need.
Turn your brain off to play it.
That makes sense.
You've been
playing Splitgate too, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the other game that I've been kind of playing a lot. I like that game because I'm good at it.
Interesting. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my hot take. I enjoy playing it because it makes me feel good when I'm better than
other people
right. I'm playing against. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that checks out.
That game is good because it's two video games in one, and most people who are playing it, their brain's too small and they can only play one of the games at a time. So they're either playing Portal or they're playing Halo, but they're not doing both at the same time. So whenever I, it is such a unique feeling.
Yeah.
Being able to like anticipate where a person is using the radar and be like, oh, I have map knowledge. I know where these portal walls are. I'm going to really quickly flick to the left, put one down, put one underneath me or on the wall immediately next to me. And then they will come in, look for me, and I will be behind them, and I will shoot them to death.
Y'all may have talked about this in Channel F, where I may have dreamed this conversation, but when you jump into a portal from a high distance and then come out horizontally somewhere else, Does your momentum hurt another player?
If you hit another player, no. Because there's no fall damage.
Yeah, but that should change.
They should change.
I think that should change. Like, I think it'd be amazing if, like, you come shoulder barging out of a horizontal portal and can, like, smash into someone.
That would rule.
I think that'd be cool.
But yeah, because of my life over the course of the last month, I legitimately haven't been playing very much else.
Yeah.
I started Psychonauts this week or over the last weekend, and I started Boyfriend Dungeon as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've put, I think, 2 hours into both, and I've enjoyed my time.
Yeah.
That I tweeted when I first started playing Psychonauts, that person he's only seen Boss Baby watching another movie and being like, this has Boss Baby vibes, except for Psychonauts, it's Control.
Yeah.
I
mean, the irony of that is that Control basically did that too, which is funny because I'm not sure I ever really played the original Psychonauts. I think I watched someone play it. But when I fired up Psychonauts 2 and I did like the telekinesis thing, I was like, oh, this is just Control, huh?
Yeah,
but it's just good.
Control.
I like that game.
Also, I really like it. It is funny so far.
It is very funny.
It's gross.
It is gross.
The literal first thing is like, what if you were in teeth?
What if you were in a teeth place? Yeah, like
it's fucked up.
It like I think that game does a really interesting job of, kind of thrusting you into these like fearful situations that like. They might sneak up on you in terms of their grossness. Like, I'm exploring this teeth place, and it's at the very beginning of the game, so it's not really, like, spoiling much. But it's, like, there's a zipper.
Yes.
There's a zipper of teeth.
In the teeth.
And you have to grab the zipper teeth with your psycho hand and unzip it. And I was like, and I don't like have like a big teeth thing, but then that happened and I was like, oh no, I think I have a teeth thing. Uh-oh. Oh no.
Oops.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what the T stands for in Zipper Teeth Bunny from Animal Crossing. The T is for teeth.
Zipper Teeth Bunny.
Yeah, I also really like the way that game, because the first Psychonauts came out, 1986, 87?
It was 2005, but it's 16 years. That's astonishing.
Wild. Yep. But I don't think I've ever seen a better last time on in a video game.
It was so good.
Before.
So good.
It's so unbelievably good. And then they don't even, this was one of, I was desperate once I realized, like, once I watched the last time on, I was like, okay, I hope that Tim does the thing that I want him to do next, which is just give me all of the abilities. Like, don't make me have to relearn this shit. By the end of this tutorial, I need to have all of the abilities that Roz has had at the end of the last game.
And guess what?
You know what?
He did it.
Tim did it.
Yep.
He just gave me all the stuff.
Yeah.
Basically immediately.
Yeah. They didn't do a Samus thing. They didn't do a Metroid thing. It's like,
that's why I'm like legitimately concerned about like what Control 2 will look like.
Sure.
This is like a like really far down the line, but it's like, do you give her more or do you take them all away and give her different stuff? Like, what
I would,
like, I don't know what the solution to that specific problem is.
I think, you know, because there are different kind of like, you could invest in those powers in that game, right? But like, maybe you start with just the base of all of those things.
Right.
And you can build new things up on them. Like, yeah, but I agree. Like, I think the days, I mean, they're about to do it with Metroid Dread. I'm like 99% sure, but it's like, I kind of feel like the days of taking your powers away in a sequel might be over and if they're not over, then I think you have to really take that from like a meta perspective. I think you have to be very aware of what you're doing in a way. And Psychonauts 2 handles it really well. I don't know how Control 2 will handle it, but I don't know. Maybe that game will be like more open world, and so you've got to like,
maybe you'll get a car.
It's one of those AWEs or whatever. It's a car that you get in and Yeah.
It's a Toyota Corolla, except the wheels are triangles. It's really weird. It's super scary. It's
super scary.
Everybody hates it.
Yeah, but I like Psychonauts 2 a lot. And yeah. And in fact, that might be my goatee of the year so far. And I'm kind of wanting...
How far... Have you finished it? How close...
No, I'm like 5 hours into it.
How long is it?
I think it's like 20 hours or something. Maybe 10, 20 hours.
Oh, the perfect length? God's length.
Something like that.
Time to be.
But it's good. Well, I'm also like a pervert. Like, I am really...
Oh, you're collecting all the shit?
Yeah, I'm kind of collecting
everything. You're sick.
Yep.
Yeah, it is 12 hours long if you do straight through, 18 if you do all the
stuff. There you go. So that's close. Yeah, that's probably my go-to of the year so far, unless it takes some sort of turn in the back half, but I'm not sure it will. What's on your radar for Goaty? We just Grim, this was your fucking idea to start our Goaty conversations.
I mean, I'm not
you're
wrong.
Not wrong. You're not wrong.
You're welcome.
You're not wrong. I do feel more prepared for it now than I did a week ago for sure.
Yeah.
So what's kind of on your radar?
I have purchased many. I purchased a lot of video games last month that I did not play, as evidenced by my expense report.
Yeah, I noticed I noticed that. By the way, the back end for the Expensify like took 5 minutes to process your report this month.
It was a big one.
Yeah, it was a big one. Had to make a lot of notes.
It was a big one, and I didn't do my expenses last month.
Uh-huh, so. Yeah. Anyway, you know who loves that? Our accounting
everybody
department.
Involved? Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, I was driving.
It's fine. Okay?
I'm looking at this trending games list on GG app.
Yeah.
But also just thinking about the games that I just recently purchased. Ghost of Tsushima. Yep. Very excited to play that now that they finished it.
Yep.
Deathloop. Y'all heard about this?
Oh my god.
But Dishonored is going to be on my list. Dishonored 1 is going to be on my list this year.
Fair enough. We allow that for listeners. We allow it.
Does that cat game come out?
I don't think Stray comes out this year. I think it's next year.
Okay, well, fuck that game. 12 Minutes obviously is going to be my number one. No, but Death's Door I want to get through. I also started that recently, and I'm really enjoying it more than I honestly thought I was going to.
That's a good game.
I'm going to try my best to not put Hades on there. I'm barring myself from playing Hades anymore. Because I will just end up finishing it again.
I don't think I've played that game this year.
You should. It's good,
John. I know it is. I know it is. But I'm like, there's a lot of other stuff I have to play.
That's the danger.
Yeah.
I told myself that I only could do 25 runs.
That's a good limit.
I'm at 10 right now.
Ooh, and you have a lot to go.
Yeah. Well, I've gotten all the way to Cerberus.
Right.
On run 10. So I'm not going to finish it, but that's the restriction I place on myself.
All right.
Anyway, Kenan, the Bridge of Spirits, I'm excited about.
I can't wait for Kel and the Bridge of Spirits.
That's going to be really fun for those two.
Yeah.
It's kind of a Pokemon Diamond and Pearl situation.
Yeah.
Speaking of Pokemon Diamond and Pearl, I need to play Ratchet and Clank.
Yep, you do.
What have you
played that you're like, it would be hard to beat this? Have you played something already that you're like, okay. So you're kind of wide open.
Yeah, I'm wide open and very behind.
Mm-hmm.
I have many games to play and not very much time, but I'll have more time next week. Forza 5 or Forza Horizon 5 is going to be on my list almost definitely. Yeah. Back 4 Blood I'm excited about.
Back 4 Blood. Oh, is that video game not out yet?
No.
I feel like that game has come out four times.
I've played it three times.
Okay.
And it feels like it's been out for a calendar.
It does to me. Yeah.
But no, it is not out yet. It comes out in October.
Okay.
As far as I know. You know what is actually my number one right now, though?
What?
Is Bowser's Fury.
Okay.
I forgot that was this year.
Yep.
That's actually probably my number one. I think it will be difficult to supplant.
It's a good game.
And I do need to like go back and refresh myself, but yeah. I really, really like Bowser's Fury.
It's falling wild.
Off of 3D World, though.
Wait, you fell off of 3D World?
Yeah, I fell off of 3D World, but I finished all of Bowser's Fury. But I think I fell off of 3D World because I wanted to play with people mostly, and Katie did not like playing it.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I think 3D World is good, but like, I crave the more open exploration stuff of, you know, Mario 64 and Mario Odyssey. Please give me Odyssey 2.
Or Donkey Kong Odyssey.
Wow, Donkey Kong Odyssey. That's interesting. Huh. What if they made a game that's as bloated and weird and bad as Donkey Kong 64? That'd be great. I would love that.
Just did it again. What if they just remastered Donkey Kong 64?
I would play that. I would.
And kept it the exact same.
I would play that.
What about you? What's on your list so far?
I mean, Psychonauts 2 is the most recent entry that I feel, you know, probably recency bias here, but like, I think it's going to be tough to beat that. But I think Ratchet and Clank is really good. I think the Streets of Rage 4 DLC is good enough to probably make my list on its own. I think Death's Door is probably on my list at this point. I think that game is really good. And I would probably put Bowser's Fury. I bet Bowser's Fury will end up on like maybe number 10 or 9 on my list.
Yeah.
I think it's really good. I've liked some other games more, and I am fully expecting Deathloop to probably be on my list by the end of the
year. Yeah, I'm very excited for the video game Deathloop.
I have also been playing Dishonored again, because you,
it's a good game.
You played it, and I was like, well, I haven't played that game. I don't think I've played Dishonored 1 since that game came out. And
you heard of this game, though?
It's really good.
It's really good.
It's really good.
It has been good. Also, like, are you playing it on the personal computer or on the Xbox?
Playing it on the Xbox.
It looks, I like didn't realize that that game was a 360 game.
Oh, well, they remastered it.
But that remaster is so good, and it runs at 60. And I was like, oh, it's just like, it was like an early Xbox One game.
Now, let me hit you with this idea.
Yeah.
A team that invests really heavily in art direction.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of saying that if you invest in art direction, and I just want to, I know I'm taking some mental steps here, so just stop me if I'm
sure
if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. You're saying that if you kind of make good choices about art direction, that those good choices will persist throughout time, regardless kind of the hardware on which it's running, and it will only look better and never worse.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm
saying.
That's
really interesting. Mm-hmm. I really do wish someone would do that.
Yeah.
Someone should put art design in a video game.
The irony of this conversation is I think there are only two or three studios that do it. So
yeah,
it's pretty wild.
It is pretty wild.
But Arcane is one of them. And that video game, even though the remaster is really good, I agree with you. And they made some really good choices. But it's like that game looks as good today, really, as it did when it came out, which is a testament to, I think, the design of that game.
Yeah. I started Dishonored 2 and then I stopped because I was like, no, I'm just going to wait for Deathloop to come out.
Yeah.
But then I was like, I don't like how, I feel like they turned the knob on how fucked up people's faces were down in Dishonored 2.
Yeah. I
but maybe I'm just far away from the TV. I couldn't see.
I think they played some things a little bit, in a way they played some things a little bit safer in 2. Some level design stuff in 2 is like buck wild, like maybe not on par with Titanfall 2 stuff, but there's definitely some like wild level design in Dishonored 2.
What if I played Titanfall 2 again?
What if we played Titanfall 2 though? Maybe that's my goatee.
Halo, I guess. I'm so sad.
Yeah?
About Halo.
Why?
I just want them to put the multiplayer out this year and then wait for the single player until the co-op is done.
Well, so I was going to ask you because, you know, we saw, I guess it was 2 weeks ago at this point, the confirmation that the campaign and multiplayer will be out December 8th. When I saw that, I immediately went, there is a 3% chance that campaign is ready by December 8th.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
So,
like, I don't, like, why?
I think they will just do the multiplayer on December 8th.
I think they're going to kick it again? I think they're, like, I don't know.
They will lose too much by releasing a bad one early.
I'm very rarely the type of person that is like, I need to see some heads roll.
Right. Like, I know.
I don't know, man. Like,
what happened?
What happened? Yeah. Like, what are you doing over at 343? Like, and the thing is, right? Like, I played that test flight.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt in my fucking mind that Halo Infinite's multiplayer is going to be great.
Yeah.
And like, they're going to do a lot of really interesting things in the way that they've already talked about monetization and right. the way that they're going to do the battle pass
yep.
in their season stuff. Like, I legitimately am excited and I would like to play more of that game. But like, it's Halo.
Right.
You can't fuck around with Halo like this.
Do you want to know my most?
One you have.
Do you want to know my most like unfounded, like professionally dangerous to even put out there theory?
Yes.
Bungie is going to make the next Halo. 343 already knows this, and that's Whoa. Why this has been a disaster.
Wow. That's nuts.
I don't think that's true, but like we know Bungie's working on another game.
And they also are very friendly with Microsoft.
Again. And they're doing the 30th anniversary of Bungie with some Halo stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what could possibly cause 343's production schedule in this game to be so fucking wild? And it's even in the naming convention, like Halo Infinite, it's almost like a last shot, like a yeah. last call for the studio that's making it. Like, I have absolutely nothing to back that up. But
I love this theory, though.
But like, I'm kind of like, what is the deal then? I mean, is if it's just mismanagement, that's kind of a boring story, but it's probably the most likely one.
But I feel like, I don't know. I tweeted about this when it was rumored that, when like the date leaked, when December 8th leaked.
Right.
But I was like, it would just be so much easier as a studio.
Yep.
If you were just like, all right, look, here's a video of what happens when we load into the map right now in yeah. this most recent build.
Uh-huh.
And like Master Chief like runs around and it's totally fine, but then he gets into a Warthog and it falls through the ground. And they're like, we can't figure it out. Like, we can't, I don't know. We're trying to fix it, but like, this is what's going on. I think that would be a way better way to approach this than being like, we're really committed to having the perfect, the best Halo experience yep. that you know and love.
Right.
It's like, I don't trust you to do that.
Right.
I would trust you more if you told me exactly how you were fucking up and the things that you were trying to fix.
Well, that
instead of being like, yeah.
I think that's a really good point, and it kind of loops into something else that we saw this past week, which was a very early look at the Dead Space remake.
Yes.
That Kalief Adams, our very own Kalief Adams, hosted.
Who?
Kalief Adams. Have you met Kalief?
No.
He's pretty cool.
Okay.
He did a basketball podcast here with us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who was on that one?
Me.
Okay, that's cool. anyway, what did you
But that studio Motive like showed off very early.
Yeah, like tech demo. Like tech shit. Demo. Like not even like we don't even have a game yet.
Yeah. But
like here's Dead Space running around in a spaceship.
And they were upfront about that. Like they were very open and honest about it. And I think a lot of people's reaction immediately was, oh shit, this game's like so early. Oh, it's not even close to coming out. But for me, what it did was it evolved into, damn, it's weird how this feels because it means we never see it. We never see this shit
mm-hmm.
until it's a postmortem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm looking at that approach and then I'm looking at Halo and I'm going, we have not seen a single aspect yes. of this campaign.
Yeah, they have shown one video,
right.
one at E3. Or not even at E3, before E3 mm-hmm. earlier this year, they were like, hey, here's the video game. And then everyone was like, word? And then they were like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is like
not good. Just,
there's, I don't know. There's no reason to not demystify this shit.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I think so much of the problem, right, is that the problems that developers and their own audiences face like in constant conflict is that no person who's walking into the GameStop and is asking the GameStop man for a copy of Halo, they have no fucking clue how video games are made.
Nope.
Not even an iota of an idea.
Nope.
Which is fine. They don't need to.
Nope.
Like, but they don't understand. Their impression is that, like, it's literally copy-pasted some folders and then, like, you change some art and, like, get some new voice lines and, like, that's it. But, like, if you do, like, what you said, like, if you do what Motive is doing and being like, all right, we're trying to figure out how to make the guy go right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's the phase of the video game development that we're at. It's probably going to take another 2 or 3 years until we have monsters in it.
Yeah.
Everyone would benefit from that.
Yeah.
And it also, like, opens you up to getting more feedback earlier in the process.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Like, Halo or 343 was doing those monthly monthly blog post updates that were like, here's what we're talking to the team who's in charge of making sure the game runs well on ultra wide monitors. And it's like, okay, that's legitimately interesting. It's a year too late though.
Yep.
Cause the game comes out in December.
Yep.
So like, I don't believe that the game exists.
No, I don't either.
Particularly.
Not really. I don't think so either. We know nothing about it. And
yeah,
if we're wrong and a really full-fledged like campaign comes out, my only thing is that the director whose name is escaping me right now, the new guy,
John Halo.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's Slayton, right? Slayton? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Joseph Slayton.
Yeah. He said in like a Polygon interview, the game's done. Oh, no, it wasn't a Polygon interview. It was just a blog post. He goes, the game's done. And I'm like, those are three words you better be like real fucking confident about.
Yeah.
You can't say the game's done and then just go, but we're just not going to show anything about it. It kind of checked out to me a little bit that they're like, if we take the time, if we take basically 2 or 3 weeks, which is like a sprint, to basically put together the marketing collateral needed to do a trailer that basically takes us out of the date for release. But what that does mean is that that window is tight. Like they have no room.
They don't have any wiggle room. Yeah.
Which does not bode well
for the video for game the video Halo. Game. I also, this game obviously got rebooted in the middle of it, right? Like, it's been in development for 6 years. Halo 5 came out in 2015,
yeah,
I think.
Yes.
So it's been in development for 6 years, and I think it got rebooted in year two of the initial development, and they built an engine.
Yep.
And it's like, no one's, I think the reason the expectations are off is because at no point did anybody say, it's going to take a minute for us to make the new Halo.
Yeah.
They kind of were like, we're making a new Halo. It's coming. And then they put Master Chief on the box of the new Xbox. And then they were like, listen. Halo 5.
There does seem to be some sort of massive communication gap somewhere. Because what is so funny, maybe the funniest thing of all, between when Halo was announced and the Xbox Series stuff was announced and now, is that it is unimportant to me that there is not a Halo and Xbox Series X right now. Because they have fucking knocked it out of the park with everything else that they've done. That I'm like, who cares? Like, take another year. I don't know. Like,
putting a bad Halo game will ruin Microsoft's year.
Right.
More than them not putting the Halo game out this year.
Right.
I also don't understand from a creative standpoint, if you're Microsoft, you're not making money on this game anyway, right?
Right.
Because it's in Game Pass. So you've already kind of written off like the opening box office weekend-esque influx of cash, right? Because you're putting it in Game Pass. Yep. So it doesn't matter. If you are saying that you're making the spiritual reboot for the video game Halo, a game that from the beginning was a very large, like, blue sky, huge environment, exploring this foreign place and kind of uncovering these mysteries that at launch had the ability to do that with another person.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot then be like, we're making the first open world Halo game. Do it by yourself.
Right. Yeah.
I like don't. That's like a fundamentally like such a creative mismatch for me. Like, I don't understand how you can even have those ideas exist in the same bucket. If you can't play it with other people, then don't put it out until you can play it with other people.
They seem to be very deeply afraid of upsetting some sort of fan base, I feel like.
Who gives a shit? We've been waiting for 6 years already.
I know, but it's like, but I think like that's what it speaks to me about. Like, that's how it speaks to me. It's like they could very easily go, it's multiplayer only, and there will be a contingent of people that are just like, oh, this game's dead. This franchise is dead. But again, those are the same people that don't know how video games work. So it's not like there will be a different competitor for Halo that in between now and when the campaign comes out releases a perfect video game that all those dipshits that don't know how video games mm-hmm. work are going to leave to go play. Like, there won't be a replacement for Halo. So fuck those people. Like, they're going to react mm-hmm. how they're going to react, and they're going to talk how they're going to talk. Just you need to do what like the game needs, and the game. Yeah. I agree. You know, when I hear co-op, I go, I don't care. But then I think about what Halo is, and I think you're right. Like, I think that game, more than probably any other FPS that has a open world idea behind it and is now truly open world. Yes, mm-hmm. it needs to have co-op.
It's also, yeah. I don't. It's so bizarre to me. They also they tripped into the perfect business model to give them an out on this. Like, the fact that they've decided to just put all of their games in their own Netflix,
right,
means that it doesn't matter when you put it out,
right,
because they're paying for it anyway.
Yeah. So
if you just assume that they're going to still be paying for it in March, which is when you're going to put the co-op out, then why don't you just wait?
Unless there's some sort of math that tells them that, like, okay, we believe we're going to sell this many more Xbox units if we get the Halo stuff out. But, like,
what I Xbox mean, is
respectfully, respectfully to Phil Spencer and the rest of that team, yeah, I'm kind of like, yeah, I think I've already kind of decided you're going to lose a lot of money on this endeavor for a while. Like,
also,
so,
like, you're not, there are no more Xboxes to sell.
Right.
Like, literally, like, physically, like, you probably have, there's probably one more drop, one or two more drops, I would assume.
Yeah.
Between now and the end of the year. Like,
yeah.
It's not like we're going to get an influx of 400,000 new Xboxes between now and December 30th.
And the report that came out, I believe, this morning says that that shortage is going to last another year.
It's going to be longer.
Yep.
So, like, what do you like? Why?
What do you want? Yeah.
What do you? It's such a bummer. Fire Bonnie Ross. That's right. I said it.
Damn.
I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I just don't understand how you fuck up this bad.
Yeah.
Though here's going to be the worst part, though. If the game is good.
The worst part will be if the game is good.
If the campaign for Halo Infinite is good, I will be pissed that they didn't wait to put it out with co-op.
Oh, right. So if they stick to the schedule, which is doing single player only campaign and multiplayer, mm-hmm. you'll be mad if the single player is good. I get that. Okay.
Because then it's like, okay, so you expect me
to play this again.
I don't know how long it's
gonna be. Right.
Exactly. It's like I don't know how long the game's gonna be, but I mean, I would assume it's hard to tell, right? Because they've gone to open world. So,
right.
Like, I'm going to conservatively say, like, 30 hours.
Yeah.
Like, 25 to 30 hours.
Right.
I personally, Nicholas Grayson, don't have that time to do twice in the span of 3 months.
Sure.
Especially when you look at February 2022.
The beginning, like, 4 months of next year are absolutely insane.
I think it's on par with the first 4 months of 2018.
Yeah.
When the Switch came out. Like, that January to March window.
Oh,
2017.
Yeah.
that January to March window,
yep,
where it's like, oh, we get a Mario and a Zelda in the span of 3 weeks.
We got I mean, that didn't. The Mario came out in October, and
oh, it did.
Yeah, there was a gap, but like that still happened in the same year. I mean, Horizon Zero Dawn came out like 2 days before Breath of the Wild, which is like bonkers. Like that's insane, and it is insane that we got a mainstream Mario and a mainstream Zelda game in 1 year. Like I don't know when that's gonna happen again.
Never.
Probably never.
Oh well, next year.
Maybe next year. Yeah.
Maybe next year.
Maybe it'll just be Breath of the Wild 2 and Odyssey 2 all in 1 year.
Yeah, I thought about it, John. I think it's gonna happen. Yeah, next
you might
year.
Be right. You might totally be right. But yeah, it's nuts. So I don't know what's gonna happen with 343 after this. I definitely
shut it down.
I don't. Again. Well, I mean, like that's kind of where my theory comes in. Is like. Bungie even saying the name Halo in that last presentation that they did, I was
weird.
Like, weird.
Weird.
Weird. I'd feel weird about
really
it.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
I also feel really weird about it.
Yeah.
Here's why. They legally don't own it.
I know. I know.
Like, they don't own it anymore.
I know.
So, like... So many conversations had to have happened for them to be able to, like, get... that like I'm sure it's like a friendly deal, right? Like it's like Bungie used to be owned by Microsoft. I'm sure like there's just
I think time has passed there. Enough that
exactly
that split now seems sillier because Bungie has both thrived on its own and Microsoft mm-hmm. is I think in a very advantageous place in the mm-hmm. market, so
and their friends over at Sony love shooting themselves in the foot. Yeah. Just love loading that big old cannon, mm-hmm. pointing it right down at their legs, pulling that big old trigger.
Mm-hmm.
That made me less excited for Horizon 2 Zero Dawn 2.
Oh, yeah. No, I talked about that in our top story segment, like trying to diagram that out loud. Very frustrating.
It's silly.
Yeah. Like it is.
It's like a conscious decision that if you're Sony, I love talking about this conversation because it's the most right we've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh, I know.
At the end of 2019, we recorded an episode of Late Lunch where we talked about what we thought was going to happen in 2020.
Yeah.
And then you and I came to the conclusion that Sony was going to get cocky, and then Nintendo was going to do what they always do.
Mm-hmm.
Sony was going to get cocky and then basically shoot themselves in the foot, and then Microsoft was going to lean so hard into Game Pass that it would be inevitable that it was going to work.
Yep.
And folks.
Yeah, that is the rightest we've ever been about anything. Like, if you go back and listen to any episode of Corner 3, our basketball podcast that Nikki and I are both on, three people have never been more wrong on that show, but on that one episode of Late Lunch about video games, we were fucking on it. Yeah,
unbelievably correct.
Yeah. But thanks for talking to me about your goatees.
No worries.
And, Halo. This I did not expect the Halo conversation, but I loved it. No. I'm saying it's a very good thing to talk about because I think it's a really interesting and bizarre story. One of the weirdest of 2021.
I cannot wait for GDC 2027 or whatever the fuck when they have the permission to talk about this game.
I really want to know. I have to know. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
'21 has been actually a pretty busy year for games, despite what some publications might be saying this week. But you know what? One thing that folks are right about is that between now and the end of the year, the games release calendar is super stacked. And nowhere is that more apparent than this coming week. So I want to get you ready for this coming week with the games releases that are coming. They're huge. There are a lot of them. So bear with me. On September 7th, you can play Sonic Colors Ultimate, the remastered version of one of the better modern 3D Sonic games for PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Fist Forged in Shadow Torch is that interesting cyber rabbit game for PS4 and PS5. That's also on September 7th. Dream Cycle is getting a Steam Early Access build over on PC. also on September 7th. And Vampire the Masquerade Blood Hunt gets an early access on PC Steam on September 7th. Now, Vampire the Masquerade Blood Hunt, not to be confused with Bloodlines, is the Battle Royale game made by Shark Mob. That's a Tencent joint, by the way. I have to tell you that for ethical reasons. I have not seen that much of this game. It's an interesting idea with some supernatural powers and flying around, I think it's Prague. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. Dull Gray is a really moody visual novel that's coming to PC on September 8th. The Final Fantasy IV Pixel Remaster, which I'm actually pretty excited about after playing 1, 2, and 3, is coming to PC, iOS, and Android on September 8th. Struggling comes to PS4 and Xbox One on September 8th as well. Ultra Age comes to PS4 and Switch on September 9th. The Artful Escape, which is a game that we saw at PAX East 2020 and liked the way it looked a lot, is coming to PC, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X and S on September 9th. Blood Rain Betrayal Fresh Bites comes to every single platform. Do I need to say which ones? It's PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and Switch. I might start doing a shorthand for the games that are coming out everywhere. I'm just going to say everywhere. And that's going to exclude Stadia and like Luna and stuff. But if it's everywhere, you pretty much know what I'm talking about anyway. Residual is coming to PC, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S and Switch on September 9th. Life is Strange True Colors is coming to everything. There we go. I just used it. I'm so proud of myself. Is coming to everything, every single platform under the sun. On September 10th, expect a ton of coverage over on fanbyte.com for that game. I know we've got some folks that are absolutely super jazzed about the new Life is Strange game, and it looks pretty neat. So please check that out if that is something you're interested in. A game that I am interested in very much so is Tales of Arise for PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X and S. That comes on September 10th as well. Some mixed previews for that game. I know Steven Strom, our managing editor, was lukewarm on aspects of it, but it's a Tales game that's a story franchise, cool RPGs. Definitely expect some coverage on our RPG podcast, 99 Potions. That's just a great show anyway. You should just go listen to that. But expect some coverage there. Expect the review. And yeah, September 10th. WarioWare, Get It Together. Another game that we're excited to play. We'll probably play it when we're in Providence next week. So that comes to Switch, obviously, September 10th. Kraken Academy comes to PC, also on September 10th. Lost in Random, which looks like a very cool platforming game that involves some like D&D dice rolling elements. PC, PS4. Oh, wait, I can do it. I can do it again. It's coming everywhere. That's right. Every single console and PC. That's September 10th. And of course, the granddaddy, NBA 2K22 with cover boy Luka Doncic. It's coming to every single platform on September 10th. Now, if you have the PS5 or Xbox Series X and S version, you are getting a next-gen version. I still believe PS4, Xbox One, and Switch are going to be based on an older version. I've played them all, though. And if you want to check out some differences between this year and last year's, I know the 2K blog has done some stuff about what they're changing with like dribbling and shooting and some just general overhauls of the way like players interact with each other on the court and stuff like that. Listen, sports games are iterative. I get that. And they're also pretty manipulative in terms of all the loot box stuff that they do. I don't get it. I don't mess with any of that stuff. I just think NBA 2K, it's probably the best sports game on the market. It is basically year in, year out. And I'm super excited for this one. So that's going to be coming September 10th. That is a huge week. That's just one week. And that's not even like, guys, the week after that, it's Skatebird. It's Eastward. It's Severed Seal, Toem. It's Ni No Kuni 2 on Switch. And then the big one is Deathloop. Deathloop comes on September 14th. That's like right around the corner. So this time next week, when I'm talking to you about the upcoming week, it's going to be all Deathloop all the time. Maybe we're so excited about this video game. Anyway, that's what's coming up this coming week. Streamings, yeah, you know what's on streaming. There's not a bunch of new stuff that's coming out this week. But Shang-Chi, the Marvel movie, is apparently really good. I'm going to go see it. And it sets up some interesting stuff. if you're into the MCU. So I'm going to go check that out. I recommend you the same if you're into MCU stuff. And yeah, we'll see you next week. And that's going to do it for this week's episode. I want to thank my guest, Nikki Grayson, for stopping by. You can follow them over on Twitter at Godsewa. That's G-O-D-S-E-W-A. If you want to follow my wonderful producer, Paul Tamayo, you can do so over at Paulie Mayo. Please listen to his podcast, The Optional, every week on Mondays. It's a great show. And if you want to follow me, you can follow me at Floppy Adult. Fanbyte can be found at Fanbyte Media. And of course, all of our podcasts can be found at podcastnet.org. We have a Final Fantasy 14 section that's launching on the website. I truly, truly hope you check out our coverage there. Michael Hyam, Mike Williams, Natalie Flores, and others are contributing to this section, covering one of the coolest games out there, the biggest MMO in the world right now, and one of my favorite games. So yeah, Final Fantasy 14 is getting a ton of coverage over on the site. Please check it out. Until next week, you're welcome.
It's Danielle Riando, the editor-in-chief here at Fanbyte. I like movies, and you probably do too. Join me and my incredible co-hosts, LB Hunktears and Fernanda Prachas, on You Love to See It, Fanbyte's weekly premiere movie podcast. Every Thursday, we explore the wonderful world of film, from old classics, cult favorites, and plenty of under-the-radar treasures. We pick a different theme each month and really dive in, with a combination of in-depth analysis and breezy chat on everything from monster movies to Patrick Swayze classics. You Love to See It is available at fanbyte.com/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Oh, movie starting. We'll catch up later.